This past summer was meant to be the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. Every 4 years, great to watch all the different competitors and athletes competing to take part in the Olympic Games, perhaps an Olympic medal, perhaps an Olympic record. It's an amazing spectacle to watch. And think of what is needed to qualify to represent your country in an Olympic discipline, that the natural abilities and the gifts and the skills in throwing a javelin or swimming, and a woman competing in the 100 meters to represent her country, just to gain entry, just to qualify to compete, needs to be able to run 100 meters in 11.15 seconds. That is quick. 100 meters in 11 seconds. And this morning, Luke wants to show us from his account why Jesus is qualified to rescue us from sin and death. Because Jesus is God and man, Luke wants to show us, we can be certain that he is qualified to rescue us. Now, kids, if you think this passage that we're looking at, Luke, this morning, Jesus qualified, God and man, it comes as a really good time for our catechism, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, we were realizing we're in debt with God. We're in debt before God. We've turned away from him. Our sins are a great debt. God is perfect. He requires perfection. How can we pay God back? And we saw today that Jesus can, because he's man. He can represent us. He can pay for our sins. And next we will see that Jesus can do it because he is God. He has the power and authority to die and then to rise again. So this comes at a really, really helpful time. Jesus is the one alone who is qualified to rescue us from sin and death. So let's think about that now, just quickly, two things. Firstly, because Jesus is God, he was qualified to rescue us, so rejoice in him. Rejoice means give thanks, delight, celebrate, love what Jesus has done. So look in Luke chapter 3. It'd be great if you'd have that open in front of you or on an electronic device at home, your Bibles, perhaps a Bible you brought with you to the church building. And look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Because Jesus is God, he was qualified to rescue us, so rejoice in him. Look at verse 21, Luke 3:21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." You see the rejoicing that is taking place at Jesus' baptism. The heavens opened. In the Old Testament, when the heavens used to open, this was a significant time in Israel's history. Think of the vision that the prophet Ezekiel saw, that the heavens opened. God is communicating. When you go to see a play, like a drama on a stage, perhaps you go to the theater or something, you sit there in the audience and you've got the big curtain, then the curtain goes back and you can see what is happening. And here the people could see. We're not sure what they saw. The wonder, the majesty of the heavens opened. And look, rejoice in the Holy Spirit descending, verse 22. God, the Holy Spirit, descended, came down on Jesus. Not in the power and might of an eagle, power and terror of that, but in the gentleness and meekness of a dove. God, the Holy Spirit, resting on Jesus. Of course, Jesus had always known perfect fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. But now, as Jesus' ministry began, as it was about to start, God the Holy Spirit shows he is ready. He is about to start this ministry of rescuing us from sin and death. And then rejoice in the Father speaking. God the Father, did you see it at the end of verse 22? "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. What an important statement. Here God combines two really important passages from the Old Testament, from Israel's history. In Psalm 2, a great king is described who will rule the nations. And God says of him, you are my son. A great king with all the power and attributes of God himself. And then in Isaiah 42, God promises a servant who will come full of the Spirit, in whom God will delight, in whom God will be well pleased. And what will he do? He will rescue the captives. He will rescue the oppressed and the poor and the needy. He will bring them into a new world of joy and delight. And God says, God the Father says, looking on Jesus, looking on his son, this is my son, my king. This is my servant who will accomplish the greatest rescue mission of all. Alexander the Great is called Alexander the Great because he was an amazing military leader. Do you know what? Alexander the Great, born in 356 BC, never lost a military battle. When he was 20, he took over the throne from his father, Philip II, in the kingdom of Macedon, which was ancient Greek. And Alexander started off on a great military campaign that conquered from Greece all the way across to northern India. Alexander the Great, mighty and confident and powerful, the great military commander. And he was qualified. He was the king. He was Philip's the second son. He'd had amazing training. He'd been taught by Aristotle, the philosopher. He had many of his father's characteristics, a great military strategist. And here is Jesus, God's son, with all the qualities and attributes of God himself, with God the Holy Spirit resting upon him, filling him, all the preparation and training of his 30 years where he'd walked obediently before God, perfectly preparing for this ministry that he is about to undertake, rescuing people from their rebellion against God and from death. How we are called to rejoice as we see Jesus baptized, praying, the Spirit descending. Rejoice that Jesus is the one who is our great rescuer. Rejoice that he has the power to conquer sin and death as God's son. Rejoice that as he prays, he is one with the Father. Rejoice that he has the Holy Spirit indwelling him and empowering him for his mission. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's rejoice in who Jesus is. Jesus is the one qualified to bring us to God as the Son of God. Let's rejoice in King Jesus. Rejoice that through him we have access to the Father. Rejoice that through him we can know the Spirit at work in our lives as we follow and trust in Jesus Christ. Where next in Luke's Gospel do we think of prayer, calling on God as Father, the work of the Holy Spirit? Is it not Luke chapter 11? In Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. Teach us so that we might know this fellowship with God. And Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. And after he's taught them, what does he say? Listen, you fathers know how to give gifts to your children. If you know how to do that, does not our Father in heaven know how to give what? The Holy Spirit to those who call on him. Rejoice that we can know God through Jesus Christ. Rejoice that we can know the life of the Spirit, forgiveness and peace with God through Jesus Christ. In this age of uncertainty and fear and worry, let's rejoice that in Jesus we have the strength and the peace and the way to God and life everlasting. Jesus is the King. He is the ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, the perfect Son of God. Because Jesus is God and man, we can be certain that he was qualified to rescue us. Let's look at the second half of that now. Jesus as man. We thought about Jesus as the Son of God. Now Jesus as man. Because Jesus is man, He was qualified to rescue us. So rely on him. Jesus' ministry is about to begin. We see that in these verses in verse 23. Now when Jesus himself was about 30 years old, he began his ministry. And then Luke gives us this family tree. We've all got family trees, haven't we? We've all kind of people who are our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles. And as I mention them now, you can probably think about them. Perhaps some you know, some that you don't. I have an aunt and an uncle, for example, who live in Ireland, Terry and Pat. And even now, I call them Uncle Terry and Auntie Pat out of respect. And what we get here is the line of Jesus. Here's his family tree. And Luke wants us to see that Jesus was man. And he was fully man. And there's two things I want to show you from this family tree really quickly. First, on the one hand, do you see how kingly and humble it is? How kingly. Look at verse 31. Do you see Son of David mentioned there? That's King David, the great King David. Jesus is one of his descendants. God promised Israel's greatest king, look, one day someone will be born in your line who will establish an eternal kingdom and bless the world. And that is Jesus. If you look down at verse 34, look, that Jesus is part of the family line of the founding people of Israel. Do you see that in verse 34? Son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. Again, God made promises to these people that through them the whole world would be blessed and the way to God and God's eternal kingdom would be established. And Jesus the man comes in that line. But even though there's those famous people, kings and the founding people of the nation of Israel, there's also humble, ordinary people like you and me. Look at verse 28 in your Bibles, for example. The son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Cosim. This is the only time these individuals are mentioned in God's word. Nothing is known about them. They live ordinary lives, generation by generation, and yet God was at work in the ordinary, in the unspectacular. And that's a good thing for us to remember this morning as we listen together to God's word. In the ordinary day-to-day of activity of our lives, God is at work as generation by generation we faithfully serve and love and follow him. This is how God works. Jesus is the man sent to rescue us. He comes from a kingly line. He comes from a humble line. And he comes to establish a new family tree. A new family tree. Look at verse 38 and how the family tree ends. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So Luke takes Jesus' family line all the way back to Adam, to that first human being God created and from whom all the other members of humanity descend. All of us descend from the same human pair. We are all joined together as one humanity in equal worth and dignity, all related to one another. And yet Adam turned away from God. That first one, Adam, turned away from God, rebelled against him, rejected God. And we have inherited that rejection. We have inherited that rebellion. We don't want to know God and love him and his son, Jesus Christ. We willfully want to go our own way. That's what the first Adam did. And here comes Jesus. The Bible describes as the second Adam, the man who will start a new humanity, a new family tree, who will know God and love him through what Jesus will accomplish. Jesus will establish this new family, this new humanity, through dying on the cross as our representatives, taking our sin, just as we thought in that catechism, taking our sin on himself. So that through trusting in Jesus, we might know forgiveness and life. Through the first Adam came sin and death. Through the second Adam comes forgiveness and life. last year, when would it have been? July, August, September, nobody knows. When in Wuhan, that virus first transmitted into a human person. Just imagine that now. Just that moment, that one person, so easily, so simply in one sense. And then look at what happened as a result. The devastation, the spread, the speed of the spread, the way a country and a continent and a world was infected with that virus. And the struggle and work now that humanity has across this whole globe of containing it, of knowing how to resolve, how to provide a vaccine. Just think how difficult that has been. A simple thing like track and trace, how it can consume and be so difficult for governments, how it can affect society. In Adam at that time, that first human pair, they turned away from God and sin entered into the world. We inherited this rebellious nature against God. We willfully wander from God and it has spread and caused devastation to our lives. And here comes Jesus, the Son of Man, to take on sin, to die the death that sin demanded. And Jesus, the Son of Man, did that for us. Jesus led that perfect life. Jesus died that death on a cross for sin. Jesus took God's judgment for sin. Jesus rose again. Jesus is the man who is qualified to rescue us from our sin. Because Jesus is God and man, we can be certain he was qualified to rescue us. So this morning, let's rely on Jesus. Let's not rely on our own strengths and abilities. Jo, as she prayed right at the beginning of our service, really blessed me when she reminded me in her prayer, look, Simon, don't rely on your feelings. Rely in faith in God. Don't trust in how you feel in the storms of life, the worry about about the virus and the confusion it's causing society, the future, our health. It can be so overwhelming. In the midst of it, rely on Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who is qualified to rescue us and give us forgiveness and life and hope. Because Jesus is God and man, we can be certain. That's why Luke has written this account. He wants us to be certain of who Jesus is. He is God. He is man. He is the way to God. Let's trust and follow him. Let's pray together. As we come to the end of our service, of our time together, Father, we are thankful for your word. And we are thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that the Son of God came and you said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And we pray, Heavenly Father, together that we might be rejoicing in Jesus Christ this morning. Rejoicing in who he is. Rejoicing in all that he has done. Father, thank you that Jesus came into this world as a man that we might find life. That he died on a cross for sin, for our rebellion against God. And that through trusting in him, we can know forgiveness and peace. We pray that each one of us, Lord, listening now, praying now, might know Christ and the joy and life that he brings. So, Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. We pray we might rely on Christ. We might walk with him. We might pray. We might live in him. We might know that he is the King, the ruler over everything. Jesus is the King. And so may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.